Hey Potters, welcome to episode 275 of Cosmod Podcast for all things cosplay.
Yay!
Happy Friday, everybody! Yay! Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Happy May. Happy yes. Very hot and very humid May in Texas. Yeehaw.
Yes. Cue the it's gonna be May, people.
Ah, no! No! No.
But it's only on May 1st, realistically.
Yeah.
It was only trending on May 1st. After that, you're too late. But yes, happy May, happy Friday, happy Cinco de Mayo, happy post-May the 4th day, and currently
Revenge of May the 5th.
Yeah, Revenge of the 5th as well. So happy Star Wars Day, part deux. Grab your favorite lightsaber along with your favorite snacks for tonight's episode. Still need to get myself one of those. I haven't figured out which kind yet. I don't know if I want Ultra Sabers or if I want Saber Forge, because they both have like pros and cons to both based on people who have actually purchased from both and who are saber aficionados. Yes, I know there are better sabers out there. Yes, I know that I could also make my own, but at this point in the journey, I just want a standard one that works.
And both of them are good options if you just want something standard.
And they're exactly. Nice. They're reasonably affordable too.
Yeah, I have both of them. I mean, I like them both.
They're not like $50 at, you know, the toy store sabers, but they're also not $2,000 collectible edition. So,
or the ones that you get at Disney that break after a day
and overpay for.
Yeah. Oops.
Yes. I still have my Pura Jedi on the books. That's what the lightsaber is for. Once I figure out how to get a rose gold hilt with a golden blade. Eventually. Right now, nobody will sell different color hilts. You can only pretty much get chrome or silver. Sometimes you can get black.
Yeah, I've got a couple of black ones.
Right. But nobody does like golden hilts. Nobody does any of the chromatics like blue, red, green, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody does rose gold that I've been able to find.
It's more the traditional colors that you see from the movies and TV shows. So, yeah.
Exactly. And that's understandable. And that may be a matter where I have to repaint the hilt myself.
Yeah. And I mean, if that's the case, that's the case. I mean, it's not like it's rocket science.
Mm-hmm. Nope, it's saber science.
Aha! So cosplay updates?
Indeed, because that was partially my cosplay updates was saber research. But... And I know, yes, Amber perpetually has a pile of
it's
fabric.
It's always a pile of fabric. It's okay.
If you all remember from last episode, I'm working on the overskirt for the costume, and the overskirt actually ended up not being long enough to go around my waist. It actually stopped a little bit short, about 3 or 4 inches on each side from where I really wanted it to be when I went ahead and basically did a draping test fit.
Mm.
And so some of you in chat had suggested that I piece together something. And so I opted to start down that road, but I haven't fully taken that advice yet. And here's why. Because I did go ahead and I cut the overskirt in half. So now there's panel one, panel two, left, right. I have two choices. I can either take the overskirt piece and make it petal style so that it looks like a U-shape,
mm-hmm.
because right now it's basically one side is curved and then it's straight, just like it would be for a standard skirt. I haven't cut it yet.
Okay.
I haven't cut the back part yet. And I haven't cut it yet because I haven't decided if I want to do that or not. Because once you cut it, that's it. You don't get to put it back together again, and I don't have enough fabric to redo it. But what I'm trying to do instead, since y'all had suggested piecing it together, is I did have enough of a slightly off-color satin that's about the same kind of material, just the color is slightly off because it's a different dye lot, and I'm using it, and I have one panel on each side, left, right, to make it longer so that it goes all the way around. So that instead of doing it petal style, it'll look more like a Princess Zelda kind of thing, to where just the front is curved and then it's like a regular skirt in the back. So I don't know if y'all can see the hue difference on screen.
Yeah, it's a little difficult to tell. You can kind of see it.
Yeah. And my question to myself, because right now you can see that it's obviously pinned together because I haven't sewn it yet.
Right.
I'm basting it right now. Because I need to see in different types of light how bad the color correction is between the two. I need to check it in natural light.
Yeah.
I need to check it in fluorescent and incandescent. Because right now I have incandescent. But most hotels will have fluorescent or natural if you go outside for a photo shoot. So I need to see how bad it looks, or maybe how not bad. You know, maybe it's so indiscernible that it would be okay in photos because it's in the back of the dress. So you're not going to see it unless the dress is spread out.
That's possible.
I don't know. So it's going to drive me bonkers, of course.
Because you will know.
Because I will totally know that it's the wrong dye lot, but there's nothing I can do about that.
Been there.
Because my other option is basically to go petal style and to not have a back to the skirt and just do it like Cinderella style, basically. So I haven't decided yet, and that's why I haven't cut it. But I am sewing it together. I'm basting it at the moment, and then once I've basted it, I'm not going to machine sew it until I have a look at it under the lights and decide for sure that that's what I want, because I don't really want to have to pick all those stitches out. I mean, yes, I realize you can rip out machine stitches. It's not my first rodeo. It's just a pain in the butt because it's so long of a seam. It takes a while, especially because it's satin. And yes, I know I can use the ball side of the seam ripper, but I don't want to damage the fabric. Because this was very costly fabric. So that was unfortunately all I've been able to accomplish in the last 2 weeks, simply because I've had a lot of things I had to take care of in life right after work. So I didn't have as much time after work to work on cosplay. So I'm slowly trying to catch up on that. And I also spent time reading one of our cosplay bookshelf books, which you all will be hearing about later on in the episode. But that's also something that I spent time doing, and I learned a lot while reading the book. So definitely plus one for self-edification.
Nice. Yeah, mine is going to be pretty short updates, because I too have been dealing with life and housing things, and stuff has had to be moved and shifted and fixed in multiple ways that I haven't been able to really take the time to do stuff. What I have been able to do has required a lot of precision cutting, and my hands needed to rest a little bit afterward because, good gravy, my hands. And I will show you why, because here is the wonderful key that I have cut out. It's not glued down yet.
Ooh.
But you can see all the little details and the cutting.
It almost makes it look like a really fancy doily.
It kind of does. It really kind of does. It needed to have a very layered effect to it. So I'm just trying to be mindful of how I'm cutting this. The scarab, I've actually decided, instead of cutting it out through the bottom piece and then heat blasting it, I didn't like the way that looked when I tried it on a temp piece. I was like, it looks more raised. It doesn't look like it's been embedded in. So what I'm doing, instead of stacking more and more foam on top of this, because this is about as thin as I can get for the foam, I am doing cardstock, and I'm going to layer cardstock because I've done that before multiple times and it'll give me the look that I want. So all of the darker pieces are going to be built up. So that'll be nice, and it will be give me just the right amount of thickness. The funny thing is the template I showed, I don't know if it was last episode or the episode before that, actually that was correct size because the book is so stinking big. So this is actually a correct size the first time out. Go me. I was smart. And I've already got my little scarabs cut out too. These I did heat blast. You can't really tell, but all these areas that are darkened, they have been heat blasted a bit. So they'll open up a bit more. It'll be nice and ready to paint. So these are ready to go. I need to go in the process and actually glue stuff down. And I'm hoping to do that this weekend once I finally get all of the housing stuff taken care of. Fingers crossed. Still don't know if I trust myself to crack open the front of the book and do all those wonderful lines without breaking things. We'll see what happens. And then I still got to figure out what to do with the weird snake bird things that are the clasps of the book. Don't know yet. I know some of it's going to be dealt with foam clay, but that's fine. There will be some molding involved. But yeah, this is what I have accomplished with my tiny, tiny scissors. And required a couple of days for my hands to recover from all the tiny, tiny cuts. I know Amber knows this very well.
I'm so familiar with what you're going through with how I make all of my templates for my paint embroidery.
Yeah, you do. Those manicure scissors are great, but they are not designed for human hands, I swear. It's just,
well,
the grips are not... They're not soft enough, so I know for me the biggest problem is right here. I get lots
you
of
get
really
indents.
Serious indents, and you're at the point where you're like, I'm so close to finishing, I need to finish this, that you won't take a break, so it takes longer for your hands to recover.
They're made for human hands, they're just not made for long periods of use, exactly. So usually what happens when I have to use them for long periods of time is you'll have them sitting naturally in a certain position on your hand. And then gradually they start sliding up and up and up my fingers as the indents start forming, and I'll slide it up and up until I can't grip it anymore. And then I have to take a break. Because I've tried switching fingers.
Oh, it doesn't work for me.
And it doesn't work as well. Ooh. Like, I can do it, but it's a different kind of dexterity because I'm so used to using my thumb and my index finger.
Exactly.
My ring finger and my pinky just don't have the same strength. So it's a lot harder to cut as accurately.
And this was such precision point cuts, I have to keep it accurate. Particularly since it's a circle with a circle with a circle. So it was like, if it even this is just a hair off, it'll shift the entire template over. So I have to be pinpoint accurate. No. I swear, it's just like, even with how it's, the handles are made, I'm like, I have tiny hands, they're old lady fingers, so I figured they're gonna be okay. No. So yeah, that was fun. And I remember why I don't like the manicure sisters, but that's okay.
Indeed.
But yeah, that's all I got. Foam work, yay.
The sacrifices we make for cosplay. Literal blood, sweat, and tears.
Facts. Confirmed.
Although I can't get any of those on my dream because they won't come out.
Cue me accidentally bleeding on my nice ivory top.
Yep. That's what I'm dealing with right now.
I just remember it happening, the pinprick, and I was like, oh! Up here in the middle of nowhere, la 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 la. And thankfully, because of the color that it was, and I caught it instantly, I was able to get it out very quickly, so it wasn't a problem, but still, it's just like, Nope. Ah, so fun.
I'm starting to worry a little bit about being able to work outside soon, just because, one, we're in severe weather season, but two, it's starting to get toasty.
Very hot.
In Texas. And of course, you all have heard me moan and groan before about spray paint and resin specifically being fickle. And being too hot is one of those things that will make spray painting and resin casting nearly impossible.
Yeah. I wanted to do a spray paint on top of this book just because everything has to be black. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I could do a nice quick black sheen on this. It would take no time. But because of the weather and I'm in a very windy area, it's just going to be near impossible. So I just have to accept the fact that it's going to have to be hand painted with my acrylics and just got to be what it got to be.
Yeah, and I know that I can hear some of those in the audience are saying, well, why can't you just do it early in the morning or late at night? The problem in Texas is that it gets so much more humid in the morning and late at night. So that, yeah, it's much cooler outside, which is great. But we're up to like 70% humidity, and that also changes how paint and resin cure. And basically means they stay tacky forever.
Yeah.
I know this from experience. Been there, done that. I've lost many a prop and had to redo them because the paint stayed tacky.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not too much you can do. I mean, you can try and build a paint booth if your homeowners association or your apartment complex allows it. But other than that, you just kind of have to deal with it and just find the most optimal time of day. If it's not windy and not blowing pollen all over, you know, your props as well.
Right. Because that's a thing.
It is currently. I don't want all of my props to basically be sandblasted
with all the pollen.
Pretty much. That's how it ends up looking.
Yeah, pretty much.
But Speaking of sandblasting.
Yeah.
So for today's topic, I reached into our cosplay bookshelf, like I mentioned, and I have pulled out a book called A Robot's Guide to Sanding by Stephen Meissner. And I wanted to go ahead and review this for you all. If you haven't picked it up, it's still available online, obviously. There isn't a actually, there is a cosplay bookshelf going on right now. Now that I think about it, thank you for reminding myself, self. If you go over, if you go over to humblebundle.com, there is currently a cosplay building book bundle. And for those who have never come across Humble Bundle, they are an entity where it is pay what you want for as many books come in the bundle that you've paid toward, basically. So if you pay $1, then you get all of the books in the $1 tier. If you pay $10, you get all of the books up to the $10 tier, including the $1 books. And so if you want the entire bundle, they do set a minimum for that. It's usually about $18 or $20. And then you end up getting usually about 12 to 15 books. And they're always ebooks. They're not physical books, so they won't be shipped to you. But they come in many formats. You can get PDF, you can get Mobi, all that sort of thing, so that you can read them on, say, your Kindle or your iDevice. And they're usually a really good assortment of cosplay books. You can find things on, say, makeup or wig work or prop making, foam smithing, sewing, that sort of thing. So I highly encourage you. We are not sponsored by Humble Bundle. I will come right out and say that. Nobody is paying us for any of this stuff, just we've bought several Humble Bundles over the years. But head over there, have a look, see if there are any that you like, and if so, then decide how much you want to pay toward it, and then you get a whole bunch of really awesome cosplay books. And I know that I was looking at them recently going, huh, they have some different books this time around. And so I may end up getting the bundle this time for myself as well. We shall see. But like I mentioned, this one is A Robot's Guide to Sanding. And so here is my review. Enjoy. I will be reviewing A Robot's Guide to Sanding, A Rough Road to a Smooth Finish by Stephen Meissner of Solo Roboto Industries. The way that the book is set up is in very concrete chapters. So there are 8 chapters in the book, and each one covers a different topic. And when I first started reading this book, the very first thing that I noticed is that it's written in a very easy-to-consume style. It's not highly technical, it's not, you know, too general. It's actually, you know, to quote Goldilocks, just right. And so it's very easy to read, even if you are a beginner, as well as if you are a little bit more experienced in terms of prop making. He does start out with the very basics of what sandpaper is. Obviously, I'm pretty sure everybody knows what sandpaper is, but he goes into things like, what is grit? How does grit affect sandpaper? What are the ways that you can use sandpaper? What are the ways you can fold sandpaper? All of that sort of thing. And so it starts from the very basics, and then it goes through to how you can use sandpaper generally, how you can use it more specifically, what kinds of sandpaper you should use, that sort of thing. So all in all, the book is very well laid out in addition to being very easy to read. One thing that I found that I was missing in the book, and these pictures that you're seeing are actually not from the book, they are pretty much stock photos. The book could use more photos. And I say this as somebody who is very much a visual learner, especially when he starts talking about things like sandpaper rolls. And those are a thing that I did not know existed. I've only seen it ever in sheets or in drum. It would have been very helpful to me as a visual learner to have more pictures of the different things that he's discussing in the book. And the top picture that you see here would have been very much especially helpful, as he talks about the different grits of sandpaper, what it's like, what it's used for, that sort of thing, because sandpaper grit is actually very important in terms of prop making, and it will make your life a lot easier. He does have a lot of helpful charts in the book as well. The top one most especially, because I actually had never considered 220 grit as being fine sandpaper. To me, that's still actually a really coarse sandpaper. But I will definitely be keeping a copy of this chart handy for my own use. He does discuss in the book how to choose the correct grit and when to know what step up to purchase. So in other words, if you're going from 120 to the next step, do I need 220 or do I need 320? There is a difference between those, and he does go into that in the book, but the chart is a very concise way of discussing that same information, and it's good to keep handy. Again, and I know I'm kind of harping a bit on a theme here, he has really good information that I didn't know about, like how to clean sandpaper. I didn't even know that you could clean sandpaper. And I didn't know that there's actually a way that you're supposed to fold sandpaper. But I included the picture because, again, as a visual learner, it's really helpful to show when you're doing a trifold of sandpaper, what does that look like? How do I do it? And so I actually just went and Googled trifold sandpaper, and this is the first YouTube video that came up showing you exactly how you're supposed to fold sandpaper to be able to use it to its greatest optimization. It's like, oh, this would have been really awesome to keep in the book as well, because I enjoy reading the text and the text is very helpful. Please also show me what you're talking about at the same time so that people who have multiple learning styles can also do this thing that you are talking about. But yes, you can actually clean sandpaper, which is really cool to know about, because I did know from experience that you can gunk up sandpaper pretty easily. But hey, there's a way to clean it and use it all over again. So I thought that was pretty cool. About halfway into the book, he starts getting into the what can you do with this technique? And for a lot of cosplayers, this is how do I make my particular material of choice look like metal? Because most of the time, if you're dealing with sanding, you're probably dealing with paint, and you're also probably dealing with things like foam or like the various thermoplastics, because you're making armor of some sort. And you want to make it uber, uber shiny, and you want to know, how do I do that? And the answer is typically 95% of the time, sanding. And so he spends an entire chapter on how shiny can you make it. And he does discuss a little bit about chroming, which is a completely separate process from this. You don't typically sand things down to chrome them for cosplay armor. Generally, with cosplay armor, you're sanding it down so that you can spray paint it. The majority of the chapter is about sanding and making something truly shiny, like to the point of metal patina mirror finish type things. And he does go into very good detail on how long it takes, what you should use, what you should expect to see, when do you know that you're finished? Because that's always the problem that cosplayers ask is, when am I done sanding? You're never done sanding to the extent that you need to be. This is a really helpful chapter for cosplayers, especially for sanding purposes. Now for my favorite chapter. This is where he discusses the different sanding tools. And this actually is one of the more technical parts of the book, simply because when you're discussing things like power tools and torque and rotations and things like that, you kind of have to get a little bit technical. And he does go a lot into what sorts of sandpaper you can use with each of these types of tools. But one of the best things that he has done here is to talk about both hand tools and power tools, because typically, when cosplayers are making props, the first thing you're going to think about with sanding is power tools. You're probably going to think about orbital sanders, mouse sanders, belt sanders, maybe sanding blocks, that sort of thing. It's mostly power tools. But you can actually get a lot done, and it's much more inexpensive to do things with hand tools, if that's feasible for your project, obviously. And so he does talk equally about both. There's a very wide range of things discussed here in this chapter. This is why it's my favorite chapter. The tools are so important when you're working on props, having the right tools for what you're trying to do, and having the right tools so that you as a cosplayer don't tire yourself out or make your cosplaying prop making life a lot harder by using the wrong tool for the job, making a mistake, and then having to either redo the prop or make up for it. The last thing that I wanted to mention about this book, as much as I give it glowing reviews and it's a fantastic book and I'm definitely keeping it on my bookshelf for reference, I would like it if future editions covered a little bit more about safety equipment and safety considerations when sanding, especially when you're working with power tools. And having some very basic safety equipment, like having safety glasses or safety goggles on, will protect your eyes from any flying debris that happens to come off while you are sanding. And then things like either painting masks or, ideally, respirators that will protect against the particulate that comes out as you are sanding as well. It kicks up a ton of dust, and that dust is really not great for your lungs. It doesn't have a lot of air in it. It's actually a lot of solids that you don't want to be breathing in. And so I would like it very much if in the future, if he had an addendum to his book. I say addendum as though it would be at the end. I would actually prefer it to be at the beginning of the book and add on a section that specifically covers basic safety equipment, what you should have while you're sanding in your workshop, how long you can keep it around before it needs to be replaced, because respirator cartridges are one of those things, and then any other safety considerations to have with working, say, with fiberglass and epoxies and resins and that sort of thing, just so that people are aware of those things and can make good choices, because more information is usually better. But aside from that, great book. Go pick up a copy and then enjoy your journey into sanding. And we're back. Hopefully that was useful to you all. We always try and bring you all a fairly large variety of books so that you have a chance to see like all the different ways to learn new things about cosplay. Because it's not always just about one genre. It's not just all about sewing. It's not all about wigs. Like, there's a lot of expertise in the community that we can really draw upon to make all of our cosplays better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the one thing I did want to make sure that I emphasize with sanding or anything else, especially if you're working with smelly adhesives, please use safety gear. Please always use safety gear. Do not skimp. Your health does not have a price, or it shouldn't. Please save your lungs and your brain and every other part of you so that you can cosplay long into the future. Please, 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 please use safety gear while you are sanding or any other, you know, safety equipment requiring procedures for cosplay.
Mask up because you need it.
You know, make sure that you're wearing your mask, your safety goggles. If you need to have gloves on, make sure that you're wearing gloves.
That's
You'll probably want some sort of shop apron if you're working on something that can splatter, unless you really want to ruin your nice clothes.
I've made cosplay aprons for friends before, so yeah, that's a thing. It is absolutely
a great
thing.
Way of using up scraps. I have literally used scraps of fabric and made an apron out of them.
Yeah.
You know how we always harp on people like, don't hot glue fabrics. Never hot glue fabrics. I hot glued fabrics for the apron because the scraps were so small.
No.
I could not sew them together. So I basically used very
taking
little
hot
glue to make
out.
a larger piece.
I am so offended by this.
that's okay. It's not a cosplay. It's not being worn out. It's not being used by me for any other purpose except to get filthy and nasty and protect me from all the stuff that splatters when I'm working on props. In which case, it's probably going to get adhesives all over it anyway.
Please don't hot glue your fabric ever.
I have no shame in this case. It's a shop apron. It's gonna be done.
But I like to clean my shop aprons too, and you can't clean it. It's been hot glued, and oh my god, you've ruined the fabric.
You can. You just have to hand wash it.
No, I don't have
just
time for hand washing.
Wash it. Don't machine wash it in boiling hot water. And even then, like 99% of it is stitched anyway. It's just one section. Because it had such a small piece of scrap in it that I wanted to use up.
My heart.
I'm not ashamed.
My heart and my head. I'm going to have nightmares now. Well, anything else we need to cover? Yeah, it could always be worse.
Yes, in general, please do not hot glue your fabrics. Don't do what Amber did.
Please don't. Don't hot glue your fabrics. Don't acrylic paint your fabrics. Get fabric paint. There you go. Those are the two cardinal sins.
You can acrylic paint, but
no!
only if you use fabric medium.
But it doesn't work as well. It does not work as well.
As well? No. But if that's what you
have to work with, still flaky and crappy.
MacGyver it.
Please use fabric paint. These are my two cardinal rules, and they're the two cardinal sins. So says the fabric queen.
What did those beautiful birds ever do to you?
I have so much fabric.
Cardinals are great.
So little time. They must all be treasured.
That's fine. If you all want to write me, you can. And I will happily send you a Nick Cage meme, but if you want to sit there and lecture me about my poor choices in fabric procedures, feel free to email us, podcast@cosplay.org. It's fine. I can take it.
Or you can follow us on any of our social media sites, which are located right over there next to Amber.
I hadn't fully intended to segue into the ending, but that works.
That works out perfectly. For those of us who are listening and not watching the show, you can visit us at cosplay.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, and on YouTube and Twitter at Cos Podcast. Please explain to Amber why it is just a horrific thing to use hot glue on fabric.
Feel free. It's fine. I'll still even politely respond to you.
Yeah.
I promise I won't ignore you. Or, of course, as I mentioned, you can email us, podcast@cosplay.org, where you will get an answer from each one of us. Val will probably tell you how right you are, and I will politely explain why I MacGyver everything.
With hot glue, apparently.
Use what you got. Otherwise, we'll see you next time in episode 276. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Good night.